Hi everyone, welcome back to a new episode of Understanding the Misunderstood. I know I haven't seen you guys in a while, but I wanted to come back on here and make a new episode. One, because my last one did not turn out the way I really wanted it to. The quality came out pretty poor, and I never like putting out content that I don't feel is 100% perfect. Not that perfection is necessary in this, but I want to just give you guys the most high quality content that you deserve. So I wanted to come out with a new episode. And this one is really, really special and important to me, like all of them are. But it is especially relevant now because this month is Men's Mental Health Awareness Month. So the month of November is dedicated to educating others on the discrepancies between men and women and how their mental health is treated differently based on gender. And I just wanted to touch on this today in this episode. So to get right into it, I wanted to start off with some statistics that can really help open your eyes to just some of the science behind this. So statistically, women are almost twice as likely as men to have depression and be diagnosed, and they also attempt suicide 1.5 times the amount that men do. Yet, what we ignore a lot in the media is that men die by suicide 3.63 times more often than women. So, this is just to get us started on the topic of how does gender impact and affect mental health? So, mental health can be greatly impacted by biological factors, including genetics, and are shaped by other social factors such as childhood experiences, family, emotions, and our communities, all of which are affected by gender. Mental illness is incredibly common, and as I've touched on in multiple episodes, almost 50% of people in the US will be diagnosed with a mental illness or disorder at some point in their life. And while mental health conditions can vary from person to person, something that needs to be talked about more is the way that your gender identity can actually affect your mental health and well-being. And usually in media, it's portrayed as only binary, so men and women's mental health. But I wanted to address other people who identify differently in their mental health, such as transgender people, agender people, or people who are non-binary. So, as I said, there can be a variety of factors that shape our mental health, such as biology and social factors, but gender is one of the biggest ones. In relation to this, it's crucial to acknowledge that gender norms and societal standards can significantly diminish or downplay one's mental well-being solely because of someone's gender identity. This issue is not a men's or women's issue, and not a men's and women's issue, but an issue that impacts people of any gender identity, as I said, including being non-binary or even unlabeled. If we continue to address mental health in a very binary way, our world will never be able to adjust and readjust to open the conversation up to people who identify as something other than male or female. And in relation to that, it can be incredibly, incredibly, incredibly destructive to those groups that we don't talk about. So you might be wondering, like, Erica, it's Men's Mental Health Awareness Month. Like, why are you talking about other people and other gender identities? And what I would say to that is that it's so important to acknowledge men's mental health, but even more important to acknowledge every person identifying in any way as mental health. It's crucial to be aware that not everyone identifies as either a male or female, and gender identity is something that's very fluid. And as a society, we must, emphasis on must, welcome it with open arms. So, let's get right into it. So, you might be curious about some of the gendered expectations about mental health, and the different gender identities inevitably result in different treatment, unfortunately. That's just the reality of our world when it comes to mental health. So I wanted to explore some of the societal norms or expectations that are directly related to this. As an example, while it is a fact that women are more likely than men to have depression, there are societal standards that dictate that only women can be diagnosed with depression and men cannot. So let's explore really why more women are likely to have depression than men, because this is only by diagnosis. So, if we as a society dictate that only women can be overly emotional and overly sensitive and need treatment, then that means that men who are experiencing mental health issues are not going to be more inclined to seek treatment, seek medication, which means that less men are going to be likely to have depression, because a lot of the men that do have depression are not seeking treatment, are not seeking a diagnosis. So it all relates to each other. And that is something that we must understand. Because when we look at the statistics as something that is just what we should take at face value, then we're not going to realize the deeper issue. Women are more likely to have depression than men because more women are allowed to get treated for mental health conditions than men think they are. It's also very important to address that women do experience stress, and some aspects of this are due to biological factors as well as social ones, just like men. But a lot of the time, we like to focus on the fact that the statistics show that more women are caregivers, meaning that traditionally a majority of them spend more time with children than men do, which is an assumption that is not always the case. Additionally, women and girls are sexualized from an early age, which can harm mental health greatly. However, who dictated that only women experience being sexualized at a young age? While it is so significant to talk about the impacts of rape and sexualization at a young age, it's also important to open up the conversation to the fact that not just women can experience these things, and it is also a men's and non-binary person and a gender person's issue. It is not just a women's issue. Transgender, non-binary, and agender people face a despicable amount of discrimination and trauma from simply existing or learning how to do so, especially in work, school, healthcare, and day-to-day life. Statistically speaking, 40% of transgender adults in the United States report attempting suicide in their life, compared to less than 5% among the overall population. So now that we've established that women's mental health can be greatly impacted by societal norms, such as dictating that they are very emotional, and men as not very emotional or strong and needing to be dominant and never to show those emotions, as well as non-binary people and other identifying people as being not part of this issue, which they absolutely are, it's really important for me to talk about men's mental health and how this is impacted by gendered experiences in more detail, as well as women's. So women are more likely to have depression and attempt suicide, but men are 4 times as likely to die by suicide. Why do we ignore this statistic? One factor that leads to the statistic is the method that is chosen to actually commit suicide, and over half of all suicides in 2019 were committed with a firearm, compared to the statistics that show that 6 in 10 gun owners are men. This all connects back to this idea of toxic masculinity, especially in the media, because we can trace this idea back to the fact that guns usually represent masculinity, and owning one is a traditional way that men can assert dominance or power. However, it is not just because of this one fact that men are more inclined and presented to the public as being defensive and violent, because in reality, toxic masculinity is the thing that's playing a role. It is incredibly important to highlight that men experience the same emotions as women, non-binary people, transgender people, asexual people, etc. But with the depiction of men being strong in the media, sets a bad example for how men should be or should act. Men do not have to be emotionless and tough and not sensitive. On the flip side, women do not have to feel that they are overly sensitive or overly emotional, because both of these false and destructive narratives for both genders are so, so hurtful. However, it's also important to not say that there are both genders, because additionally, there are more than one. People can identify as female, male, transgender, non-binary, etc. So saying that it's a destructive narrative for both genders, as according to this article, it is actually not the case. It's destructive for all genders. So the gender divide of who seeks mental health treatment is not surprising, but very, very dangerous, because 1 in 5 adults in the U.S. receive mental health treatment, and among them were 24.7% women and 13.4% of men. Women are twice as likely to take medication for mental health as well as seek counseling, and while only 60% of men go for treatment, 72% of women do the same. I want to go more in depth about how being transgender or non-binary or unlabeled may also impact mental health, but I want to make that a separate episode because it needs its own space to be dedicated to. So now we're going to go into our normal segment of discussing myths and facts of men's mental health, specifically because it is Men's Mental Health Awareness Month. And I really, really think that it's important that we acknowledge that men can experience the exact same mental health issues as women can. Today, we only have about 4 myths and facts that I'm going to dive into, but I think they're each very important. The first one is that men do not face any mental health issues because they are mentally stronger. And the fact is that while it's assumed men are mentally strong due to the patriarchal culture of our society, men are not encouraged to openly express their emotions. And when they do, they're ridiculed and basically deemed weak and feminine, which can be so detrimental to their mental health in the long run, especially as I talked about before, because men experience the exact same emotions and feelings as women, non-binary people, transgender people, etc. So it is crucial to point out that if men are showing their emotions, they're absolutely allowed to do so. So please give them the space to do so, just like anybody else, just like a transgender person, agender person, or a woman. However you might identify, you should not treat mental illness or mental health issues as something less for a specific gender identity. Okay, so the next myth is that unlike women, men are good at managing their emotions. However, this is a popular cultural notion that men don't cry. And an exception to this is made only in cases of extreme situations, such as loss of a loved one. And this is, as I said, this is just the cultural notion. This is not true at all. This sends the idea that men are not allowed to express their emotions except in drastic situations, which is why many men resort to alcohol, drugs, or aggressive behavior, which encourage the masculine ideals of self-reliance and denial of emotions. Additionally, there is another myth that men do not need to seek help for anything because they can handle it on their own. Mental health issues are something that no one can handle on their own, truly, and that requires a team of supporters and people backing you. What's important is that while it's culturally and traditionally believed that men are in charge of the family and responsible for making any decisions related to their families, this sends a message that men cannot seek any guidance or consult anyone or seek resources for any distress or mental health issues that they face because they are not allowed to, quote unquote, show their inability to handle them. And obviously, it's so important to be able to identify if you are suffering from mental health issues, let alone seek treatment. That's a hard step in and of itself. And because men are conditioned to not do that and to be strong and to be tough and not let anything get to them, it is absolutely detrimental to their own self because they feel that they can't seek help or treatment in any way. So the last myth I wanted to talk about is that marriage will resolve a man's mental illness. And I haven't heard this one very often, but this website, White Swan, that I am looking on and referencing from is very, very interesting because I guess this is a myth that marriage will resolve a man's mental illness, when the fact is actually that mental illness requires treatment, which may include medication or therapeutic intervention. And it becomes important to focus on treating the symptoms rather than on getting a person married. So this is what the website is saying. And my analysis on this is that marriage is never really a solution to anything, especially mental illness, and it can honestly worsen the situation for the person suffering and the other person who is involved. So I think it's so important to acknowledge when you must step back from a relationship or from a marriage to focus on yourself and so the other person is also thought of as well. I think both parties deserve that. And again, this is just super important for us to talk about. I think that a lot of men need to hear this, and a lot of women need to hear this, and a lot of transgender and agender and non-binary people need to hear this, because at the end of the day, gender is only a label, and it shouldn't label the way that you are treated in terms of mental health and care, and especially when it comes to seeking treatment and medication and other therapeutic intervention. So obviously, you guys know that this is something I'm so, so passionate about. This is why I get so heated, so riled. And I think this is such a great episode and such a great time to post it. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. At the end of the day, my last message is to treat everyone kindly, genuinely. That is the best thing that you can do, regardless of their gender identity, regardless of the way they present themselves. Every single person on this earth deserves treatment and respect, medication and love and resources and things like that that will help their mental well-being. So thank you guys so much for listening, and I will see you in the next one.